ministry at Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 16. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. You know, the problem with a Bible study as opposed to a church is that in a Bible study, everybody seems to come as an authority over the Bible. Oh, what do you think it thinks? Oh, what do you think it says? And nobody's saying anything. Where the church says, no, we're not over the Bible. The Bible is over us. And we say, what does it say? And we respect that. And we grab our pastors and our teachers and we say, tell us what God says. Tell us, because we need to know that. We don't want to get this wrong. And for many in America, sometimes we need to ask the question, am I being taught the Word of God or am I talking about the Word of God? Because there is a difference. And what happens is these women were down there and evidently prayer was being made there. And the Bible says there was a certain woman in verse 14 named Lydia, a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. So she worshipped God the best she knew. She's almost the female version of Cornelius. Though she doesn't get a vision, she does get a visit, because now we don't have all these walls of middle walls of partition separating Jews and Gentiles. Paul, as a Jew, is going right over to the river and he's talking to Gentiles. Isn't that cool? You see how things are changed now? She doesn't need a vision. And by the way, the Macedonian vision was a man saying, come over and help us. The man turns out to be a lady who's actually one who has her heart worshiping God already. In verse 14, the Bible says that she worshiped God. And she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And what it means is she obeyed it. She heard it and appropriated it. Now there's a mark of a Christian. Now there are things I'm going to say that are going to trip you up. You're going to say, wow, Pastor, I don't know if I agree with you on that. Fine, that's okay. I don't have any corner on truth. I do my very best to get it right. I can tell you that. But the point is when I get it right, individuals who hear it, it's their job to appropriate it. Not to criticize, not to, you know, kind of assassinate the messenger. Like somebody said, I'm just a messenger. I'm just delivering the mail. God wrote the mail. I'm trying to get it out there the best I can. And in a day where it's hard to find the word very clearly preached, I really do try to do that. Well, she attended to it. Now, that meant that she was beginning to make a real impact on Paul's psyche, right? Because he's thinking, here's a gal who's getting it, and she's doing it. That's important, right? How do you think that made Paul feel? I think that probably encouraged his heart. Somebody's listening, and they're doing it. But what I'm saying is that it's a joy to a pastor when we attend to the things. You realize, right, that we are all supposed to be the body of Christ, not just a pastor. We're all supposed to be visiting people and praying for people and witnessing to people. Did you get it? Did you hear it? It's not a pretty pastor. We got a world in which we want a professional to go be the guy so we can go do our thing. It's not like that in Scripture. The body of Christ, she attended to the things that he had said. And the Bible says that after she had been known to do this, she attended to the things. Verse 15 says, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and abide there. And she constrained them. And they do. She becomes a minister to these evangelists. She becomes the person who houses them. This is not unlike the lady in the Old Testament who took Elijah and made a prophet's room. Said, honey, you need to make a prophet's room. Whenever this prophet comes through, we need to give him a place to stay. Place where he can read. There was a desk in there and a bed, and he was good. Okay? That's what she did. That's where that ends with her. But she's going to be picked up at the end. They're going to have one last talk in her house. It seems she actually establishes herself as a meeting place for the entire church there, in one sense. And you'll see that as we unfold this further. Verse 16 says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now we've moved from the Holy Spirit, intentionality, to Lydia, hospitality, and now we're at a demon. Now we're going to see in this demon, hostility. Do you know the devil hates you? Did you know that? He hates you. If you're a child of God today, he hates you. If you're a lost person, he hates you too, but he'll put up with you because he can use you. He can actually use the believer too if we let him. But the devil hates you. He can never get you back. That's why he hates you. And he also hates you because you represent the image of God in its more clear depiction. Because we are made in the image of God. And so as we go through our day to day, we reflect the glory of God by loving. Because that's what God is. God is love, right? Remember that? First John, God is love. That's what he is. He is the embodiment of it. And everything good that is associated with love, God is the one who is the originator of that concept that you and I get to reap from and joy and blessing and every good thing. You know, at work, I have people in my world, sometimes when they leave their workplace, they want to go for a bar stool. They want to go home, hey, I'm going to the bar stool. I tell them, when I get off, I'm going home to see my wife. That is a good thing, to go to home. God wanted that to be the main thing in our lives. And he gave us that intimacy of being a couple, to have some place to go, which would be literally, as we've heard it said, but oftentimes don't experience, a little bit of heaven on earth. If you're in agreement, you get to create a little place of heaven on earth right now. And the kingdom of God can be run just as it should be, in that home, in your fellowship as a couple. The Bible calls us joint heirs of the grace of life. In Song of Solomon, he calls his beloved, my sister, my spouse. Okay, so there's a joy there. And my point being is that this is a woman who is altogether possessed by a spirit. Now, we don't know why she's possessed by this demonic spirit. Important to realize that this is happening today. I've read stories and accounts of the asylums of the 1800s, which were terrible places. People were just completely out of control. We have a lot of medicines to get people overwhelmingly sedated, but sometimes, not every time, obviously, but sometimes people have spiritual problems that become what we might call demonizations, which is what it means when it says possessed by a demon's demonization. Some people have that. It was not something that was uncommon in that day. You remember in Mark chapter 1, for instance, where Jesus is in a synagogue and a man cries out with an unclean spirit, right? You remember that he said, come out of him, and he did, and everybody said with authority, Jesus commands even unclean spirits to come out. Well, there's a passage right here in Acts, chapter 19. Go there real quick. Acts chapter 19 actually brings us an interesting little glimpse about what that early days in the biblical times was like. Chapter 19, verse 13 says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, look at this, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord, saying, we adjure thee by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Now, we're going to get to that. But my point is, these were vagabond Jews, exorcists. This is what they did. So it was kind of like a life for them. You know, they maybe made bank on it. And what I'm saying is, even in our day, what we find is sometimes people are talking about demonization and so forth. You may have heard a couple months back, the Catholic Church was talking about there was a demonization of America, or a demonization of Mexico. And then you'll hear sometimes about priests being exorcists. And it's a weird day. But I'm telling you what, if they would go in there, they would find what those guys found back in chapter 19. It says, the sons of Sceva said, we adjure thee by Paul, whom, or Jesus, by Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of him. And they say, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, who are you? And he jumps on them, and they get ripped and torn, and they run out for their lives. And what I'm saying is that exorcists, demon possession, it's real. And the only thing I can really get my mind around in one sense is that, you know, when the Bible says Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, the word destroy means render them idle. You know, the devil doesn't have nearly the free course he did have prior to the cross. He's been defanged and declawed. We go against the gates of hell, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. You can go into the gates and you can grab people and save them. You can do that. You should want to do that. There are people who are perishing because they have not the knowledge of Christ. And Paul said, I speak that to your shame as the church. We need to be people who realize people are perishing. People have not the knowledge, and we need to tell them because we do have it. And we should get it as clear as we can so we can tell them and help people get free. Now, if you want to talk about demon possession, in one sense, you could talk about the fact that the devil possesses everybody who's lost. He You say, demon-possessed? Not in the technical, conventional sense. But he's the one who is the God of this world. The Bible says that the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one. Even the Jews were said, Jesus said to the Jewish people, you are of your father, the devil. You see, we're all lost. There are only saints and ain'ts. There are people who are saved and lost. Two types of people. Forget about race for a minute. You know, it all comes clear when you realize we are all one race. It's called the human race. And among the human race, there is a great divide. And that great divide takes on kind of sinister looks. We talk about skin color and so forth, and even behavior. But the reality is we are born with a sin nature, and unless we come to Jesus, we will die in our sins. We need Jesus. And we need to understand why it works and how it works and who God is. And we need to study, because we need to make sure we got good footing. This woman, we don't know why she was demon-possessed. You say, why are you making so much of that? Well, in one sense, it's because the Bible says that this woman, back in chapter 16, she was possessed by a spirit of divination. Her masters gained much money from that. This woman was a soothsayer, a fortune teller. You know, when these shows on TV, they come in, they say, well, we knew nothing about this dead body, and this woman said there's a dead body, and he's a soldier from the Revolutionary War, and you find the blue or whatever in his coat and in the grave. And you say, wow, she knows stuff, she's so smart. No, demons aren't limited by time. They knew where it was. She locked in with a demon, and he told her where it was. Listen, they've been around studying humans forever, and they'll do whatever they can do to get you confused and get you intrigued. And there is a lust for power and knowledge in every human being. And when that is being tweaked, it's because the devil can do that. He can't manifest himself like he did before the flood, as we see in the book of Genesis in chapter 6. He is limited. Those who left their proper estate were put in chains. Now they're told, stay in your corner. And when Jesus showed up, they would run to him and said, have you come to torment us before at the time? Don't send us to the abyss. My point is, there is a demonology you need to know from a spiritual perspective. It's literally angelology is the study we would embrace here. She was open somehow to some spirit of divination. As a result, she became a part of the market of the system there in Philippi, and men made money from her. And every day, the Bible says in verse 17, she came crying, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, when you read that, you need to understand when it says she cried, it means she shrieked. She shrieked it. And it was very annoying. And Paul didn't do anything about it right away. You know, it says, the same followed Paul and us many days, verse 18. You see that? She did this many days. She's screaming. Do you know what Paul was depending on? He was just thinking, well, the Holy Spirit, she just hears the gospel. Maybe she'll get saved. You know, people who have a demon problem, they just need to get saved. It's not about a power encounter. You don't go in and say, I command you to come out of him. You just tell him, sit down, let me tell you about Jesus. Do everything you can to get quiet. Pray yourself to a quiet place and say, God, let me know who you are. Please help me, because he will. Light received will bring greater light. You need to recognize the pattern. More light, more light, more light. You keep going for the dark, God will give you dark. He gives them up, gives them up, gives them up. But you got to get off of that road. We don't know why she was the way she was. And I say that because the Bible says in verse 18, Paul being grieved. Interesting about this is the word has the idea of toiling through it. It has the idea of worried. Do you know what happened here? He was getting to the place where he was saying, this woman is such a distraction, it becomes a problem for everyone who's trying to hear me. She's screaming. And I'm saying to you that that's what moved him to confront it head on.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.